Welcome to You Can Plume, the business podcast where we talk about holistic health as a female entrepreneur. We get to the heart of what it means to live well-being and success in a feminine way so that you can plume in and with your business. If you don't know me yet, I'm Stephanie, a business mentor, yoga teacher, and cultural anthropologist from Germany. Grab your favorite drink, something to write, and let's dive into today's episode.
Today, you can expect a very exciting interview on the topic of well-being with the owner of Houston Aztec Massage, Enerea Salazar.
Energy, I'm so happy to have you here in my podcast. It is an honor. Please introduce yourself to our audience. Who are you?
Hello, thank you for inviting me to your podcast, and I'm really happy to be here. So my name is Nerea Salazar. I am from Houston, Texas. Well, really born in Pasadena, Texas, but been living in Houston all my life. My family is from Mexico, and yeah, so I go by Energy for short.
And I love it because I think it's so fitting. When I think on you, I think on pure energy. So I love that.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's true. So we're both self-employed. When and why did you decide to be self-employed, and how was your way?
So, I've been a massage therapist. I think I graduated back in 2009, and so I've tried working for like European spas and European like massage places, and I tried many, many years to work for other people. Even before I became a massage therapist, I've had 2 to 3 jobs and working as waitressing before and working as office, like office assistants and into car selling. Like I was handling
Wow.
even home decor. I did a little while too. Like I did a little bit of everything. I even went to college for welding, like for a little while, and saw that there was no opportunities for me there. Like there was a lot of discrimination against me because I was a female working in that industry. So I was like, well, maybe I let that go. So I tried many, many different kinds of jobs, and I just didn't feel like it was for me. And it's really hard. It's really hard to like even in the massage when I did that for a while. I was just like, I even ended up getting frozen shoulder because I would just do a lot of deeps and most of the people would come see me. And so I was just killing myself for like not even worth what I was getting paid. And then even getting paid was an issue sometimes working in certain places. I would have to ask to get paid, and sometimes it so there's like a lot of issues with paying here in Texas, unfortunately. I don't know if it's for everyone, but I have heard that it is for a lot of people here. So it is pretty difficult to do something that you really enjoy and make a real living out of it. So that's when I decided that I wanted to start my own business and working for myself because I saw other massage businesses that they were doing good as business owners, and I was like, well, I got inspired actually by a Thai woman who had her own business, and she really inspired me because she wasn't from here and she had to learn English and everything, and she started from the bottom. And I mean, obviously she had a husband who was backing her up and helping her and everything, but when I saw her doing it, I was like, wow, like she's inspiring me. And then she was also a cancer, so I was like, oh, like she could do it. So I was like, if she could do it, I could do it, right? And so I was like, okay. So I started off actually as another business. But at that time I'm going to give a little bit of my personal information there,
Of
but
course.
in that time I was in a relationship, and in that relationship the person I was with wanted me to not give up on working for corporate jobs, And so he wanted me to have like a 9 to 5 job so that I can get like benefits and things like that. Although when I was working there, I was also being discriminated for my identity, for being, native, for being Mexican native. And so I had a lot of issues there, but my goal and my dream was always to have my own business. And so, well, one of my goals. And so I ended up letting that business go because of that relationship. And, went back to working for other massage places. And I was just like, I ended up finding a friend through activism, because I do a lot of activism, or I was really involved in activism back in the days. And one of my friends was the one who told me, because he saw how I was having issues with getting paid and all of those things. And he allowed me his space to start my own practice. And because it was a spiritual shop, that's how basically Houston Aztec Massage became Houston Aztec Massage. But yeah, that's how I ended up actually transitioning to working. But it was because someone actually also helped me on my path, which was Absalom. He had his own business already, his own spiritual shop. So that's how it helped me and also inspired me to create my own and dive back in into my practice as well.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And I can't believe that discrimination because of some kind of racist thoughts is still a thing, but I hope
Yeah,
it gets better.
unfortunately. Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, that's been on my that's what I've experienced. I'm not gonna speak for anyone else, but what I have experienced, I haven't had good luck with people.
I mean, it's not a topic of today, but I just think it's like you are in America, you are a Native American, and you get discriminated for who you are. Just not making sense, but okay, whole different topic here.
Yes, that's a whole nother
Exactly.
podcast.
Yeah, maybe people can let us know if they want to have an episode on this topic. I think it's very interesting, and we should do that.
knows?
But getting back into role now, like part, I would love to speak a bit more about the thing what you're doing, but I think first of all we have to speak about a term, a word that is not very popular, at least not here in Germany or I think in whole Europe. What is a curandera?
Okay, so a curandera is a person, or it's a woman. So a curandero would be for a male, and a curandera would be for a female. And so what that is basically is someone who is practicing a holistic alternative medicine, right? It could be a person who is an elder, or it could be someone who's learning to be that way, someone young that could be that is tapping in into that. There is different types of curanderos. So there's different categories of curanderos. There's curanderos that specifically just do sobadas, which is like the massage, the body manipulation. And there's curanderos that are hueseros, the people who help like fix the like broken arm or broken wrist, and just work with the bones. And then there's yerberos as well. Yerberos are the people who only study like herbalism as well. So the term curandero is basically like a mixture of indigenous practices. And then also religious practices mixed together. So the practices of curanderos, different categories or different curanderos practice different things. So every curandero and curandera will bring their own practices of what their family, what their traditions have taught them. So it's generational. Not to say that somebody can't learn to be a curandera or a curandero. If it's in their heart, if it's in their vision, if it's a call, it's a calling. And so that's what helps you want to become that, because it's basically a big responsibility to take that role on. Because when you become a curandero or curandera, now you have to carry that leadership in helping your community. But there's also curanderos that just do it for their families, that only help their families. But curar means to heal, and so it's people that help heal any type of thing, which we believe in the mind, body, emotions, and spirit. And a lot of Western medicine leave out the emotions and leave out the spirit, and it's just mostly mind and body, right? The anatomy, the pathology. But although to also be a curandero, you do have to know a little bit of those, also those topics, right? The anatomy, herbalism. So there's some mixture of things in that as well. But we do incorporate believing in the spirit and in the emotions, because we feel like that has a big, how do you say? How do you say, like a big aspect of one's wellness. So whenever people go to the Western medicine and they keep going in and out of the hospitals, and they don't find any answers, that's where people turn into their faith, into their spirit, and they go to a curandero or curandera and ask for help. So they try to look for another alternative medicine that may help them. And so that's what we do. We try to help, or we refer them to certain people, other people that also study or help in an alternative medicine way.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. And of course, I mean, not under this term, but the thing, what it is, we had and still have it here in Europe too, and also in Germany. But it's super hard, like to find it. And of course, there are a lot of people who claim things that they're certainly not. But yeah, I mean, again, another topic, right?
Well, I can honestly say the reason, a lot of the reasons why there's not a lot of curanderos and curanderas that are openly like you can find them is because back in the 80s, because my mother was practicing that, it wasn't allowed. It wasn't allowed. It was looked upon as witchcraft, because people would say prayers, or sometimes even go into trances to pray over people. And they would, do the egg cleansings and things like that, that it's not very much Christian or Catholic. It's like a mixture of prayers and herbs and different things. So it becomes sort of like a ritual. So a lot of elders, they would practice out of their home. And so they would never really come forward and do it as a business. And the only reason why I'm doing it is because it took me a lot of courage to not be afraid and hide anymore. And so, and I'm doing it for my mother, because she didn't get to really involve herself in this vision that she had, and the same vision that my eldest brother also had. And so I'm taking it forward. I'm taking that vision forward for my family.
And I love that you do that. I mean, I, without knowing at first, I had the luck to have always some kind of elders who teach me, like in my way, in my cultural
Yes.
way. And even though Germany was really, really big with witch hunts, yeah, it's quite a thing here, natural medicine. But yeah, not always practice in a very traditional way, unfortunately. And it's really hard to get into the more traditional ways. And like you say, that it's not only mind and body, but that it's emotions and spirit as well. And that's why I'm so happy that I could find access to beautiful indigenous Native American people like you. And I'm learning a lot, but I have like all my respect go to you. And yeah, I can't wait to come to you to Texas.
That would be great to have you here.
I'm working on that, but please let us
Or
know.
I can go to Germany.
Yes, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome here. So, how do you connect the teachings of your ancestors with a modern day business?
Well, in curanderismo, you're always going to be connected. Curanderismo, to bring that till today, like for example, in order, well, here in Texas, there's laws in order for you to be able to work or massage anyone, right? To do any type of massage, you have to have a license, right? So technic in a technical form, I learned how to do massage. So that was a way to bring upon the actual business. And through that, I was able to incorporate my actual personal practice, right? And so incorporating things like when you work on someone, first off, it's basically you have to create a space for the person that is going to feel like they can trust you, because they have to be in a vulnerable space, right? In order for them to allow them to heal or let go of certain either emotions or thoughts or voice or something that they have holding on to, or even physical pain. And so you can incorporate it anytime in your oils, connecting to your ancestors through the yerbas and understanding, you know, how to care for the actual herbs. That's a connection to the ancestors right there as well, or the ancestral ways, you know, because you're respecting the herbs in that way. You know, when you say your prayers, you know, you're calling out in a certain way, that's automatically being connected to your ancestral ways. You know, these rituals are basically ancestral ways, because it's definitely different than it's definitely different than Western medicine. And then also tools. Sometimes you use tools that are made out of certain shells or bones as well. So I know I have some turtle shell tools that I've carved out and that I've used to help people feel better as well. So connecting to all of those things will help you connect to the ancestral medicine ways as well.
And do you use also language? I mean, speaking about hierbas, curanderismo, this is Spanish, right?
So yeah, of course. And sometimes I teach people the images, and when if they're curious, if you're there curious, because also in curanderismo as well, when someone comes sees you, they might the folks or the patients that are coming to see you, they might not believe in this 100%. It might not be something that they practice, but they maybe came to you because of a word of mouth, you know, that they heard of a person that could possibly help them. So they come in. So the person that's curande that is a curandera, curandero, they will feel the energy right away that that person is holding back a little bit. And so you try to explain to them, this is how I do these things, and this is what I'm going to do. And you run them through them. Sometimes they'll be accepting of it, and sometimes they hold their guard up. And so you make sure that you let the person know, like, this is not forcing my beliefs onto you. I respect your beliefs, and but this is how I work. So that way they can feel a little bit more comfortable in allowing you to help them as well. And but that's one of the ways that also you open up the path to teaching them as well, because that will sometimes give them curiosity to ask. So what are those words you said? when you pray, you know, and then you get to explain to them what those words are meant. Or sometimes, you know, I have certain tattoos on me, and sometimes they'll ask, "Oh, what is that? What is that significant of that image?" And that's where I'm able to teach. Okay, well, this means this, you know. And in my altar, I have, you know, different images on my altar, and some of those they might recognize, and then sometimes they'll ask if they don't recognize those images, and I speak to them about what it is. So that also helps to teach them understand what I'm doing too.
I love that, and you just inspired me. And I was thinking, when I have finally my own yoga studio, well, which will be not only a yoga studio, but my own place, then I for sure will have some kind of altar where I put my shamanic and Celtic things. Yeah.
That would be beautiful. Yeah, I think everyone should have a little place in their home where they can pray at, where they can
Yeah.
practice their beliefs, you know. I think it's beautiful to have a little space for yourself or for your ancestors, for your abuelitos, you know,
Yeah.
for your grandparents to just, you know, still have that connection, because that's also another thing. Us curanderos, we live a lifestyle basically where we're always in between life and death. We're always going to see things from a different eye or a different perspective. So that's how we are always connected, because we are always connected to our abuelos, to those spirits that walk with us. And it's a way of living. It's not like, I'm done with work, I'm going to go home and turn like my job off. Like curanderismo, it's really hard to turn it off, because even though I go home and I can say, okay, I'm gonna not work today and I'm gonna take my day off and just go have fun and go out, something will happen that will be more spiritual that is only explained in that way. And it happens. It happens. It's like the path chooses you. It's not like you really want to choose the path. So it's kind of, once you get into this, it's kind of hard to unsee it, to undo it. It's like, that's why a lot of people, they're a little afraid of this, because they know that once you open up that path or that door to that spiritual awakening, it's kind of hard to go back to sleep.
Responsibility you take.
So it's a balance between life and death, you know, just like doulas or midwives, you know. That's also pretty much another form of curanderismo too, parteras. And that they're always li living between life and death too, because when a woman is giving birth as well, they're living between life and death, because they don't know what's going to happen. You know, they're giving birth, and you know, part of them is also dying, because now they're becoming a mother. So
Yeah.
it's a transition, right? So that's a good way to kind of explain it a little bit in detail, for sure.
I can absolutely relate to the things that you say. I mean, we know that we have many things in common, like it's not only the zodiac sign, but it's, yeah, what I really love is what you say is it's a responsibility, and it's not just a usual 9 to 5 job and then you close the door and I don't know, you watch Netflix.
Because even if I'm at home and I'm relaxing and everything, like sometimes, you know, I'll get woken up in the middle of the night, you know, and they're alerting me, something's alerting me that I need to prepare or something, or you know, it's just. Or sometimes people will call you emergency that something happens to them, or you know. So it's really, it's a lot of work, and I feel like that's why also not a lot of people take that responsibility to become this. One, because they're going to be looked upon a lot, they're going to be judged a lot, they're going to be not welcomed very much. So it's kind of like you become an outcast in a
Yeah, you're the
way.
weird person, right? Like,
You're different. You're an outcast. But I mean, I've always been pretty much an outcast, so I'm
Yeah,
used
me
to
too. So I think we're just
it.
born to be wild.
Yes.
So your business is called Houston Aztec Massage. So we know what a massage is. We know Houston is a place, and even in Germany, we have heard of the Aztecs. But what to expect from an Aztec massage? And like, who teach you these techniques?
Okay, so the reason it is Houston Aztec Massage is so that the name Aztec definitely goes back to all the people that are Mexica people, right? It's the people from Mexico. So my form of doing this type of work was to basically my audience to be brown people, right? Is the indigenous people or people that are Mexican or Hispanic people, right? That was what I was aiming for, is to help my community out, because I know there is a lot of people in our community that prefer not to go to doctors at all. At all. So I wanted to make something where it sounds familiar to my community. And once you are start doing the work, it doesn't just become an Aztec massage. It's more than a massage. So definitely coming into an Aztec massage, it's not going to be your European like spa. That's one first thing. You will notice it right away when you come in, the vibe that I have to welcome people in. It's more of a connection, people, person, family vibe in the space. So first off, that's one thing, right? Making sure that they understand that this is a family business and it's not just a corporation. So that is a huge difference. Although I am very, very professional at my work and I continue to hold that very highly in professionalism. Although I'm able to still keep it professional, I'm also still incorporating the family orientation vibes in the space. So that's first off, is it plays a huge, huge difference from my massage business to other European businesses. What's another thing? Another thing is off the back, the type of massages that I do is basically I will connect you with crystals and stones, which is way different as well to many other massage. Now I feel like they're incorporating that now more because I feel like it's more of a aesthetic now. But I will explain the person of what I'm doing, and I'm giving them a breathing technique that's going to help them tone in into themselves so that they can reach down within themselves and shut the world off. So even I try to shut them out of like the space that we're in. I just try to help them and guide them so that they can go within as much as they can, so that whatever they need to release or come like purge or anything like that, they're able to let go. So it's very much different, and that's a big difference in what it is from Aztec massage for sure. And again, I'll also incorporate things like empacho and limpias. So those things right there automatically, those are traditions that is well known in our community, in the Mexica community. And so I don't really know any massage places that have anything like that. That's why I said it's called massage, because that's how I opened up the business right off of that.
I
But
think it's
it
important to
makes sense.
mention that what you do, like for example, the limpias or smudging or something like that, it's not because of aesthetics. Because I feel a lot when you go to a spa, I tried it once and I hated it. I hate to say that. But it's like you have, I don't know, some artificial oils, just that it smells good without like really having an effect, or well, it has an effect, like a negative effect. Like it's not just because it looks good or because, I don't know, it's just this Instagram Pinterest style, right? It has a purpose what you do.
Yes. So again, I also incorporate curar de susto. So sometimes there's kids that they're always scared, they're always scared, they're always scared. Their parents don't know. And so in our tradition, they know that tienen susto. It's like they're scared. They feel certain things. And in our beliefs, it's because since they're so young, they still have a really big connection to the spiritual world. So that's why they're so innocent, you know? And so what we do, we cleanse them off and we create this ritual so that we can take off what is bothering them spiritually. And so the kids are able to sleep a lot better, you know, and I think that's just like a Mexica thing or an indigenous thing, right? I believe or
I think
practice.
so. I mean, I need to say, I don't know anything like that from my background cultures. Not saying it's not existing, but I don't know anything like that. Yeah.
Yes. So those things we always try. Well, our people usually always try to go to home remedies and go back to these holistic ways before we take the next step on taking them to the doctor. Or some people are different. Some people rather do doctor and then last resorts they go back to the roots. So those are different things that also connect you to what these techniques, right? What's different as well? Like in Pacho, you know, doctors don't know how to, they just give you medication. But for Empacho too, you have to burn a certain herb and mix it in some oil, and you got to intake that after a sobada. And then you do like a popping in the bones in the back, on the back. And there's a certain technique that you use to do that, so that they can get better with their stomach issue, gastritis, and things like that. So those are a few techniques that I can name off of my head like right now that that's definitely different as Houston Aztec massage, like an Aztec massage, because it is different. And again, the Aztec, the reasoning behind me choosing Aztec again is because a lot of our people understand what that word means, and it takes you back to the Mexica people. The tech, a lot of the techniques that I've learned, I basically, my mother, was practicing, like I said, mentioned earlier, my mom used to practice sobando and also limpias. And also, she did a little bit of huesero too. So, I grew up seeing her heal my brothers and my brother's friends sometimes. And even when she tried to change her career and go into cutting hair, she would go into trances and start reading the person and going into what is called whenever you use your mind power to like talk and to read people. I think it's called, there's an actual specific word that those people are called. I can't think of the word right now. I think mediums, something like mediums. So it's kind of like that, but it's a gift. It's a gift that a person has. So I would see her tap into her gifts and help people out that they would come to her for a haircut and they would leave with like a whole new perspective on things. And then people would start to come see her. But like I said, in the 90s and stuff like that, she was looked upon as a witch because she would do that. And so she didn't have such a good support system at all. And, you know, she would be embarrassed with the people around her, and they shamed her for it. They shamed her for it, and she got discouraged. So I remember her like doing all this, and I remember her talking to me about, these things. And so she was one of the main person who I learned off of these techniques. And then I also had this elder, this older woman who was my grandmother's best friend, and she taught me how to do the fire cupping in a tradition, in a more traditional way. So the fire cupping that I do today now, it's more of a fancier way, right? Because I used the fancy cups, the more advanced, now it's more advanced, right? More modern now. But the way she taught me was in a more traditional way, where you put a little stick of candle and you put it on a little coin, and then you put a cup over it. And so she taught me where to put those things at and how to take the aire out of the person. And so I was taught in that way, and then also picking up on other curanderas that I would see as a kid. So I was always a kid that was always at a curandera's house, and it's always an older person who would work on me. And I was always a little sick child who was always getting sick with stomach issues, or always had espanto and susto. And that's how it was my life. It was just normal to me growing up that way. Did I think that I would pick this up and practice this myself? No, I never thought that I would grow up to do this. I always wanted to grow up and be a partera or a midwife, but I never grew up thinking I'm gonna do what my mom's doing. I think on my path, I think it all played out to be a part of my path to finally me accept that this was a calling of mine, for sure.
Yes, it's really something that relates to me with me. I don't know how to say it because the first people who teach me were people from my family, and like you say, it's like when you're a child, you don't know really what it is. You're used to it, and maybe you get curious with the time. And I'm super thankful. And it's at first it was the aunt of my mother who taught me and who told me about herbs, and I got into herbalism and stuff like that. Now, unfortunately, she died, but now it's more my dad, and I never thought that my dad would teach me something about herbs.
Oh,
Because now
wow.
it makes sense because he literally grew up in the woods. Like he was born in a small house in the woods. Like they had a fireplace. Like it's not a typical German household you would think of when you think about my grandparents and my dad. So this
And
helped.
it's beautiful because even at that, it helps you with your inner journey and your personal healing journey. It helps out a lot because you get to connect to those parents in those ways. Like, my dad hasn't really been in my life too much. He's been in and out, but the times that now, since I've had my business, the times that he has been around, me sharing to him what I do, he would automatically knew what I was doing, because even his mom also would practice some of these things. And so he to him it's like super normal too. He's like, oh yeah, you go and they help and you help them out. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, he goes, that's good, mama, that's good. So like, I mean, even my dad knows that this is something that is done in Mexico everywhere. It's just not really well known here. And I think a lot, it's if some of it doesn't carry that responsibility to really carry these traditions, it's possible that it might get lost, So that's why it's important too to practice traditions, to practice some traditions.
We definitely lost it here in Germany. Like I said, if you're lucky, you can find someone like that. I had the luck that I connected with a German woman actually, but we connected through through Mexica people. It was quite a funny story.
Oh, wow.
So we found each other because we were looking for some guidance and we didn't really
Yes.
know where to go. So she's like my elder now. She's really much older than me. Much more experienced, but it was so funny because we met there, but now we speak about like our cultures and how it was here. And I was like, oh, like we've heard something let's investigate what is our European or German version of that. Did it exist?
Yes.
How did it exist? And it's super interesting. Yeah.
Yes. It's definitely a journey.
Yes, it is a journey. It is definitely. So, as we are coming slowly to an end with our interview for today, what is something you wish more people would know about you and or your work?
Something that they would want to know more. I mean, I think just that that's a really difficult question. Well, I just hope that people understand that I'm just here to help, and that I'm really looking forward for to see new people and new faces, and that I'm here to help them find their own journey to healing, whichever and however that may look, and that I see people from women who are trying to come out pregnant, because I do womb work as well. I think not a lot of women know about that, but I also help women who are trying to come out pregnant as well, with getting rid of some of those cysts that they have in their womb. So I do womb massages. And then I also help with postpartum, and I also help with doula work as well. So those are other services that I also incorporate into Houston Aesthetic Massage, and that's also the parts of curanderismo as well. And so I work also from all ages. Again, this is it's kind of like a general, holistic alternative medicine, where I see pretty much the whole general of ages. So I see from little kids, because I do get asked this a lot, like what ages come. I see pretty much anybody. Like I said, it is a family business, and so I see other families as well. I see from the grandparents to the aunts to the uncles to the cousins to the sisters to the brothers, and so I see the whole family. But yeah, I'm here to serve the community in Houston. And if there's also pláticas that I have on social, well, that you can reach from afar, I'm also going to incorporate classes soon that you can take also online as well. And so anyone who is interested, they could definitely reach out to my email, or they can reach out to my Instagram. I have an Instagram handle and a Facebook handle. I usually am more active on my Instagram. But if anyone has any questions, I'm more than happy to go over them. I'm also open to collab and make collaborations and be on podcasts. I'm always looking forward to working with others and working with others in the community as well. So yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know about that as well. So I'm an open book.
Thank you so much, Energy. And of course, I will put all of these informations in the boxes beneath the videos and
Yes.
the podcast episodes, of course, so people can find you with one click.
Yes, and also eventually, if Creator opens up the doors for me and allows me to, I also want to start teaching curanderismo as well. So I will be having that in maybe sometime this year, if I have everything going, because I already have an introduction to curanderismo, and I'm going to be teaching sobadas, and I'm going to be teaching fire cupping, and I'm going to be teaching curanderismo. Now, for that, you do have to be an intern with me for a while before I can say, okay, You are free to go. You are now an actual curandero or curandera. Because it does take time. It does take time to actually fully indulge in this, but I will have those availability and a lot of things that you can do online. But hopefully we can, to pass the test, you would have to come in person to at least pass the test in person one day at least. But that'll bring more people to Houston. So I'm looking forward for that.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm looking forward to visit you. And I can't wait to receive this kind of massage because I think it's so much more holistic than the things I tried so far. And just to meet you, to be honest, this is the real
Oh.
reason why I want to come. I'm just saying, like, oh, I want to come for the massage, but the real reason is you, to be honest.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for giving me the opportunity to speak to you and your community. It's always welcome to work with other people.
Always, you're always welcome here, and I'm already looking forward to another episode with you. So
Yes,
thank
thank
you
you.
so much for taking your time and sharing all this knowledge with us.
Oh, thank you so much.